Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening. This is the main evening news at 5 o'clock. I'm Daniel Brennan. These are the headlines. Public health authorities north of the border have confirmed probable cases of the Delta variant of COVID-19 in Derry and are urging asymptomatic people in the area to get tested in order to help stop the spread. The government is monitoring the rise in incidence of the Delta variant, and according to Transport Minister Eamon Ryan, there are no plans to change the timetable for reintroducing international travel. Ireland has the fifth highest 14-day incidence rate of COVID-19 in the EU, and a Sinn Féin councillor on Derry's waterside says the appearance of sinister posters in new buildings featuring masked loyalist gunmen are a deliberate attempt to stoke up tensions. And later we'll have Kenny with the sports news, as well as farming news and views with Chris Ashmore. And to our main story, public health authorities north of the border have confirmed probable cases of the Delta variant of COVID-19 in Derry. And they're urging asymptomatic people aged between 18 and 40 in the area to get tested to help stop the spread. Supporting that call this evening, Foyle MLA Martina Anderson said news of probable Delta cases in Derry is concerning and everyone should cooperate with public health guidance and advice. Meanwhile, the head of the HSE says the rising numbers of cases in the Delta variant in the Republic is a concerning trend. It now accounts for 20% of all cases detected in the Republic and is responsible for slowing down the easing of restrictions in the UK. Paul Reid says the progress made up to now needs to be protected.
We can't let happen again what happened to our health service going back to the dark days of January and February. Our teams are definitely exhausted after 16 months dealing with COVID, after a horrendous quarter one of this year, January through to March, and most recently dealing with a cyber attack. So we will be doing everything possible in our power to protect all of the great gains that we've made over recent weeks.
The government is monitoring the rise in incidence of the Delta variant, according to Transport Minister Eamon Ryan. But as of now, there are no plans to change the timetable for reintroducing international travel. The Cabinet will meet next week to sign off on plans for further reopenings in July, and Minister Ryan says as of now, international travel is still on the cards.
This is not fixed. The virus keeps changing. We have to change with it. But in this country, what we have succeeded in doing the last 3 or 4 months particularly is have a steady reopening while keeping our case incidence and seeing our hospital numbers drop. So it's working well here at the moment. We should stick with it rather than changing plans.
Ireland has the fifth highest 14-day incidence rate of COVID-19 in the EU. The European Centre for Disease Prevention and Control says the country's rate is 90 cases per 100,000 people. Only four countries have higher rates, with Portugal the worst at 124. Malta has the lowest rate at less than 4 cases per 100,000 people. 38% of the adult population is now fully vaccinated against COVID-19. 3.8 million vaccines have now been administered, with one dose given to two-thirds of adults. For the past 2 days, 54,000 vaccines have been administered, and HSE CEO Paul Reid says vaccines are winning, but the fight against COVID-19 is not over yet. Meanwhile, the highest daily number of COVID-19 cases in over 3 months has been reported in the north today. There have been 198 new cases in the past 24 hours with no additional deaths. 18 COVID patients are in hospital with none in intensive care. Almost 2 million vaccines have now been administered in the north. A Sinn Féin councillor on Derry's waterside says the appearance of sinister posters in new buildings featuring a masked loyalist gunman are a deliberate attempt to stoke up tensions. The poster says, "Our forefathers fought for our freedom and rights. No border in the sea or we will continue the fight." Councillor Christopher Jackson says this is clearly provocative, and he's urging unionist leaders to condemn the posters and what he termed the threatening messages contained within them.
I believe that they're a deliberate attempt to stir up tensions. This is our main arterial route coming in and out of our city. I certainly believe that these posters have been erected as part of an ongoing campaign to stir up tension leading into the summer. I believe that there is a role for the police. I know we've reported similar posters in the past, but there is a role for the police to investigate those who are erecting these posters and hold them accountable for bringing them up, because it is in many ways a hate crime, it's threatening violence, and there's no place for it in today's society.
Speculation locally is that it's a new group that's behind this, but it's very clear from the wording on the posters that they're trying to claim a history, speaking about our forefathers fought for this and we're going to fight for it too. So they're very much trying to stake a claim to be representative of the community and representative of that community's history.
Yeah, and what I would appeal for is those who are representative of the unionist community to step forward and show leadership and condemn the erection of these posters. And now is a time for calm heads as we enter into the summer months. And I would appeal for anybody with any influence, they condemn the erection of these posters, condemn any attempt to stir up tension and create division as we enter into what is a very volatile period of the year under normal circumstances. So there is a real need for some leadership within unionism at this moment in time.
The Minister for Agriculture and the Marine says anything and everything that can be done at European level is being done to find a resolution for the fishing industry. Minister Charlie McConlogue met with representatives of the sector yesterday following a protest in Dublin. He told today's 9 till noon show that over the next number of months at European level, he will be seeking to get Ireland's fish share back. Minister McConlogue says there's a lot happening at the EU level.
Anything and everything that can be done at the moment, Greg, at European level is being done and has been since Brexit as well. So there's ongoing quota negotiations at all times, which involves all member states working with other non-European member states as well in terms of negotiations. And I have used every one of those opportunities to leverage Ireland's position to try and improve our situation with regards to fishing, and I've had some successes in that.
The Taoiseach has dismissed suggestions of moving the new National Maternity Hospital to another site. The row over who will own the land at the proposed site at St Vincent's has escalated this week. The hospital group is unwilling to see, with the government wanting to completely own it. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar has said the government has legal advice that the ownership won't impact the delivery of care.
But what's different now is the state is going to invest hundreds of millions of euros in a new building on that campus, and that does change things in my view and in the view of government. We have clear legal advice to the state that the draft legal framework ensures that all legally permissible medical services will be provided in the new hospital, and we're having that double checked at present.
The Garda Commissioner has apologised to victims of domestic abuse that didn't receive the standard of care they should have. The apology has come following an internal review which looked at 3,120 domestic violence emergency calls, which were marked as cancelled. The review claims that a third of the calls had a valid reason for being cancelled, but 45% of them are now being investigated further. Garda Commissioner Drew Harris says Garda should have done better for victims who needed them to respond to an emergency situation.
This is regarded and is a very serious situation in Garda Síochána. Our review into the calls of service is ongoing. We have not got the conclusive or final figures, but it is right to say that in some instances, Garda Síochána did not provide the standard of service to victims, particularly of domestic abuse, that is required by our policies.
The Donegal Intercultural Platform is one of 7 organisations across the country that has been selected to be a part of a new €1 million pilot community development scheme. The scheme, announced today by Minister of State Joe O'Brien, will provide funding to organisations that focus on tackling issues such as poverty, inequality and social inclusion, as well as promoting human rights. The funding received by the Donegal Intercultural Platform will go towards helping migrants in Donegal, and co-chairperson of the Donegal Intercultural Platform, Toiba Ahmed, says that news of the additional funding feels like recognition for their efforts in recent years.
I can't tell you how excited we are at the board, you know, because it's also like recognition for the work that we used to do, you know, during the last years. We're so excited. You know, we haven't been able to reach out to all the people in the county, Donegal. We did our best, you know, to reach out, and this will help, you know, will give us more, you know, tools and resources to do so. I think it would be enough for hiring maybe two staff or 3 members to do that work professionally.
And what does the intercultural platform's work in the community entail? So what programs would they be carrying out at the moment?
You know, we used to work with all the people to be the link for them, to be the voice for them, to see their problems, you know, as individuals, as communities as well. you know, to know their problems, to, you know, reach out to them, telling them about the services that are available, helping them with applications, offering sometimes some of the translation from the members, and all of that work is voluntary.
A Donegal deputy believes the government should not have carte blanche on the continuance of criminal justice provisions. Donegal deputy Thomas Pringle was speaking in the Dáil last evening during a motion on the Offences Against the State Act and provisions of the Criminal Justice Act. Meanwhile, Sinn Féin TD staged a walkout during the annual vote on the legislation to extend the powers of the Special Criminal Court. Deputy Pringle in the Dáil voiced his opposition to the legislation, and he says it undermines the rights of people.
It leads to a situation where the criminal justice system and the lawyers that are supposed to operate that system don't bother because they know there's no point. Because regardless of whether they put forward a counter-argument or not, the court will guarantee a conviction because that is what it's meant to do. And we as legislators are supposed to be happy with that too, and we're supposed to rubber stamp this. And the reality is that that is wrong, and that's undermining everybody in this state, and it's undermining this whole house here as well, that we have allowed the system to continue on.
The Foreign Affairs Minister has dismissed the idea of boycotting goods coming from Israel. Simon Coveney has faced renewed calls in the Dáil to implement the Occupied Territories Bill in response to recent violence between Israeli and Palestinian militias. The minister believes boycotting Israel is not the right approach.
But talk around boycotts and sanctions at this stage, in my view, isolates Ireland rather than puts us in the middle of an influential discussion to try to bring about change. We have an opportunity now with the new Israeli government to make progress, and we should focus on doing that.
And again, our main headline, the public health authorities north of the border have confirmed probable cases of the Delta variant of COVID-19 in Derry and are urging asymptomatic people aged between 18 and 40 in the area to get tested to help stop the spread. We have a break for now and we'll be back with the Sport with Kenny afterwards.
Sport on Highland brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Check out the new Donegal Portland Leisurewear range online and in-store at michaelmurphysports.ie.
And now it's over to Kenny Harkin with the Sport. Kenny.
Thanks, Daniel. Starting with athletics, and Mark English's push towards the Tokyo Olympics will see the Finn Valley man run in Germany this weekend and not defend his national 800 metres title. English is on the verge of qualification for the Games in Japan, but needs to hit the standard time of 1:45.2 to be assured of a place. After Tuesday's win in Sweden, where he ran 1:45.6, his team felt a quality field at the World Athletics Continental Tour event in Leverkusen on Sunday could get him over the line. Highland Radio's athletics correspondent Patsy McGonigal says this is a very important race for Mark.
That'll be his final shot at a big time race before the Olympic Games. Now, it's also important to relate. He currently is in 47th position in the ranking lists. 48 people qualify in that event. So, you know, he's very aware that he needs to keep his ranking strong. And as a result, this is why he's in Leverkusen. He needs to run. He needs to really run down there in that 44-45 area, you know.
So it's not 100% guaranteed, Jan, that he's going to the Olympics as we speak then, Patsy, is it?
Well, see, nothing is because there's still a few days of qualification left for everybody. Mm-hmm. Now, he is in a qualifying position. That's very important to say that. But, you know, you just have to wait out. Now, we got a bit of a surprise over last weekend because there was a very fast race in Poland. Two or three more qualifiers came out of that race. And we're just watching the scene, particularly in America and in Europe, you know. So, you know, now also it has to be said as well that there are a number of athletes in that qualification 48 list that haven't ran for a couple of years. So will they be taken out of it or will they be left in it? There's, you know, it's just getting down to the, as they say now in the modern terms, the squeaky bum time now. It's getting really serious, you know, to see how it'll all fall down now in the next couple of days.
That's Patsy McGonigal there. You can hear more from Patsy on the Score programme this evening, which starts after the 7 o'clock news. Also on the Score tonight, former Finn Harps captain Keith Cowan, ahead of Harps' battle with Longford Town on Friday night in Ballybuffet. We'll hear from the Donegal hurling manager Mickey McCann as his side start the defence of their All-Ireland Nicky Record title on Saturday against Mayo. And we'll also hear from the 92 All-Ireland winner Martin McHugh. He runs the rule over the Ulster Championship, which starts on Sunday. for Donegal. They're away to Down in Newry. That's the Score programme after the 7 o'clock news this evening. In soccer, UEFA have scrapped the away goals rule. The 66-year-old rule saw goals scored away from home in two-legged ties count for double in the event of a draw. However, the rule has been abolished, meaning it won't be in play for Irish sides in the European qualifier action next month. Well, Kevin Kelleher has signed a new contract with Liverpool. The Premier League club says it's a long-term deal for the goalkeeper from Cork. The Republic of Ireland international made five first-team appearances for the Reds last season, featuring in both the Premier League and the Champions League. The 22-year-old also won his first international cap earlier this month and has expressed a desire to remain at Anfield for a very long time.
I'd love to be here for the rest of my career, definitely. I think it's since I've come here, since I was 16, I've loved every minute of it. Such kind of a close-knit, tight kind of family club. When I got the chance to sign for a few more years, I was obviously delighted and just want to keep my progress going at the club, really.
In other news, Nathan Collins has become the most expensive uncapped Republic of Ireland player. The under-21 international has moved from Stoke to Burnley for a fee believed to be €14 million. Collins has signed a four-year deal at Turf Moor with the option of a fifth. In Gaelic Games, James Horan has named 10 of the team that started last year's All-Ireland final. That's for Saturday's Connacht quarter-final with Sligo. Aidan O'Shea returns from injury to take his place in the full forward line. Kevin McLaughlin will make his 150th appearance for Mayo, and Keelan Colley will captain Sligo from centre-back. In golf on the European Tour, Niall Kearney is just one shot off the lead as the opening day of the BMW International Open in Munich draws to a close. The Dubliner is on 6 under par with 2 holes to play. Australia's Wade Ormsby is the clubhouse leader on 7 under par. Patrick Harrington finished on level par. Jonathan Caldwell and Paul Dunne, they're both in the clubhouse on 2 under and 1 over par respectively. And on the PGA Tour this week, it's the Travellers Championship in Connecticut. Seamus Power contends this week. The Waterford man tees off at 6:40 Irish time. Maverick McNeely, Bo Hostler and Henrik Norland are the early leaders on 5 under par. And on the LPGA Tour, Leona Maguire will be looking to maintain her good form as the Women's US PGA Championship has got underway in Atlanta. The Cavan golfer is currently 1 over par through 11 holes. Fellow Irishwoman Stephanie Meadow tees off just before 6 o'clock this evening. Denmark's Nanna Matsen leads on 5 under par. After this event, the top 60 qualifiers will be confirmed for the Tokyo Olympic Games, with Maguire and Meadow both inside the top 40 of the current rankings. In rugby, all 7 Irish players in the Lions squad will start Saturday's warm-up test with Japan. Tadhg Furlong has been drafted into the front row following a back injury sustained by Xander Ferguson. Finally, for this evening in motorsport, the British Grand Prix will be held in front of a full-capacity crowd of 140,000 spectators at Silverstone in July. Well, that's all your sport for this evening. Don't forget the Score programme after the 7 o'clock news this evening. It's back to Daniel.
Thanks, Kenny. And now it's over to Chris Ashmore with Farming News and Views.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll be hearing about a new branch of Macra na Ferma in Donegal. But first, there's a milk quality virtual farm walk taking place next Tuesday. The Starrett Family Farm in Lifford, that's the location. Many of you may well be aware of the achievements of the Starrett family in recent times. They've won a number of awards, including in 2020 the national winners of the NDC and Kerrygold Quality Milk Awards. Well, these Chagas organised events are often very popular indeed. And I've been finding out a little bit more about what to look forward to in this one from Vincent Griffith, who is the Farm Profitability Programme Manager with Arrivo.
Yes, Chris, thanks very much for having me on. Yeah, it's great excitement, I suppose, in the co-op. Richard and his family won the 2020 overall milk quality award, and that's awarded to farmers in the Republic of Ireland. So every co-op in the Republic of Ireland puts a farmer forward, and so it's a great achievement for Richard and his family foremost. So next Tuesday the 29th at 11 o'clock we're going to have a virtual farm walk. Unfortunately, with the COVID restrictions, it's not possible to have people there in person, so there'll be for 1 hour between 11 and 12 there'll be an hour long broadcast featuring videos of Richard's farm so people can see what he's doing. And then there'll be a panel discussion afterwards, so we'll get into a little bit more detail about the things that have made the Starrett farm so exceptional in terms of grassland management, the herd of cows they have, and I suppose what's very important for all of our culture, environmental concerns, and what Richard is doing to lower his carbon footprint and mind the environment.
Now, as you mentioned, because of the pandemic, people won't be there in person. But, you know, ironically, by this being virtual, perhaps even more people will be able to do it online than would have been the case normally.
Yeah, absolutely, especially for some of our milk suppliers further south. So, there's a link being sent out to all our milk suppliers and on all the Arrivo and indeed the local Chagas social media pages, that link has been posted up there. So everybody is welcome to log on the day,
So, in effect, it's a really great opportunity just to see how one of the country's most progressive farmers, just exactly what he's doing. And, you know, who knows, people may pick up a really handy tip or two.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and we all know that farmers will always pick up stuff from other farmers, and particularly for farmers in the locality who are dealing with the same weather conditions and the same soil types and stuff like that. So, yeah, we go into detail. There'll be videos done on, as I said, the grassland management, and then in the environmental practices that Richard has in his farm, such as spreading all the slurry with low emission slurry spreading, using protected urea. Richard has all his waterways fenced off to stop stock getting into them, and he's doing stuff around energy efficiency as well, in terms of using plate coolers to cool his milk, so to reduce his energy bill and his solar panels as well. So all that will be discussed in detail, and it'll give farmers an idea of how they could maybe adopt some of those practices for their own farm.
Yeah, and I'm sure for many of those tuning in, it'll be a real eye-opener. It's no surprise that he has won numerous awards, because he's certainly not afraid of a challenge and to try something new.
Yeah, no, look, we're very fortunate, Richard, that Richard and his family do an excellent job there on the farm, and indeed it just shows that the type of progress that's been made in dairy farming in the northwest and in Donegal in particular. There's a huge amount of adoption of new technology on dairy farms, and Richard is at the forefront of that.
Somebody wants to find out more about this, do you go to the Chagas website, or what's the quickest way?
Yeah, both the Chagas website and the Arrivo website, and indeed any of our social media pages, the Arrivo Farm Profitability Twitter page or Facebook page, have all the details on them about the event.
And I see also in some of the flyers there's a QR code, so for those people who would use that, you can just simply scan that onto your phone and that gets you registered as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I should have mentioned as well, for anyone that registers for the farm walk and goes on to it, there's a hamper there that includes some of the dairy produce produced by the co-op. Also a couple of books in the hamper, and Chagas are sponsoring some soil samples. So the hamper's worth a few hundred euros, so there's a chance of winning that. There's five of those hampers up for grabs as well on the day.
And that was Vincent Griffith, Farm Profitability Programme Manager with Arrivo. Well, Macro La Ferma is, of course, a voluntary organisation representing around 10,000 young people across rural Ireland. Kiva Cusack-Smith has relocated to the Letterkenny area. And Kiva, you are very much involved in what will hopefully become a new and flourishing branch of Macro and the Ferma.
Yeah, that's the plan. Thanks for having me on, Chris.
So your background, obviously, you have been involved in the organisation previously.
Yeah, I suppose I've been involved in Macro, I'd say, almost 10 years at this stage. Back in my home county of Cavan, I was very active. And I've held many roles within club and county over the years, and now at a national level as well. So, something that's very close to my heart and something I feel is very worthwhile bringing to a community. And I believe it's already been here in Letterkenny in the past, and I'd like to re-establish it if we can.
And for those people who aren't too au fait with the organisation, I mean, essentially it's for people between 17 and 35, and it's a mixture in many ways of fun, organised events, socialising, etc.
That's it exactly, yeah. I suppose it started out as a young farmers organisation back, I'd say, 70 years ago, but over the years it's grown and grown, and very much
a social club almost for young people from any background, but there is a big element of agriculture in it as well. So you have certainly your social side, your sports, your community involvement and things like that, but you do have then a nice bit of agricultural competitions and events as well. So.
Yeah, and many people pick up a lot of skill sets. I know public speaking is one of them, and many people benefit from MACRA and use it for all sorts of reasons as they venture forward, and sometimes even in other fields.
Oh, most certainly, yeah. There's a vast array of things that you can get involved in. And I know certainly in my own career, it's been something that in many's an interview, I've been asked about my involvement because of the opportunities it's given me, from organising events of various interests to I suppose just being so actively involved in my community. It's given me opportunities to travel. I've been to Strasbourg to the European Parliament. I've organised mental health campaigns or farm safety campaigns. I've been part of the organisation of national competitions, you know, the public speaking competitions, the drama, the sports. There's an array of things you can get involved in, really.
Now, there are a number of MACRA branches in the Northwest already, and no doubt, you know, the more the merrier. So if somebody is interested, you have a Facebook page already set up?
So we are on Facebook at the moment under Letterkenny MACRA Fermo. But if people are listening to this outside of Letterkenny or the Letterkenny area, there is a Donegal MACRA page as well. And then obviously the MACRA.ie website as well will tell you of your local clubs within the area.
And important, I suppose, to stress also that we hear a lot about people in rural areas, and sometimes there can be isolation, the social side, the networking. Maybe if you haven't been to involved in MACRA before, I mean, you've nothing to lose, well worth giving it a try.
Oh, 100%. Like, I know myself coming home, I'd trained and worked elsewhere for years and came home to my local county to find that the vast majority of my friends had moved on or weren't there, and it opened so many doors in terms of meeting people and having something to do, having someone to go to cinema with or to join in a competition or take part in different things. And like I said, there genuinely is something there for everyone.
Your parting message will be contact us and let's get involved, and hopefully over the years we'll see it becoming one of the most progressive branches of MACRA na Fermo.
I'd love to see that, yes. And and as I say, if it's a thing that people are listening from elsewhere, they're more than welcome to contact us. And I can, or myself or Ciara can put them in contact with others to maybe look in their own area as well, if that's of interest.
And that was Kiva Cusack-Smith. And in other news, a raft of tougher measures are proposed in the final consultation document for Ireland's nitrates derogation. That's according to this week's Irish Farmers Journal. The proposed changes include a shorter period for slurry spreading, a ban on soiled water spreading during the close period, and new fertiliser limits. And the 15th of October deadline for slurry spreading could be brought forward to September under the draft proposals. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Thank you, Chris. And to know the weather, rain widespread this evening, heavy in places, clear, drier conditions following tonight, with highest temperatures of 14 to 16 degrees. Headlines once again this evening. Public health authorities north of the border have confirmed probable cases of the Delta variant of COVID-19 in Derry, and are urging asymptomatic people in the area to get tested to help stop the spread. The government is monitoring the rise in incidence of the Delta variant, according to the Transport Minister, but as of now, there are no plans to change the timetable for reintroducing international travel. And a Sinn Féin councillor on Derry's Waterside says the appearance of sinister posters in new buildings are a deliberate attempt to stoke up tensions. That's all for the Highland Radio News for now. We'll be back with headlines at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for Thursday evening, June the 24th. The death has occurred of Colm Doherty Rowe, the Moyle Ludden Buncrana. Funeral on Saturday at 1 p.m. in St. Mary's Church, Cock Hill, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery.
Family flowers only. Donations if desired to Buncrana Nursing Unit, care of McKinney Funeral Directors, Buncrana, or any family member. House strictly private, please. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the funeral and interment are private to family and close friends only, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Wake prayers can be viewed at 6 p.m. tomorrow, as well as the funeral mass on Saturday, via the church webcam www.churchservices.tv/Cockhill. The death has taken place of Teresa Dulligan, Tessie Nee O'Donnell, 9 St John's Park, Granshaw, Buncrana, and formerly of Drummondderry, Ballymagan. Requiem mass on Saturday morning at 11 a.m. in St Mary's Church, Cockhill, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are private to family and friends only, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Requiem mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv/Cockhill. The death has taken place of Jim Cannon, Terhillion, Termin. Jim's remains are reposing at St Columba's Church, Termin. Funeral mass tomorrow at 12 noon with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the removal, funeral and interment are private to family and close friends only, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Jim's funeral mass can be viewed live on St Columba's Church, Termin webcam. The death has taken place of Willie Lynch, Creve, Rathmullen. Remains are reposing at his home. Funeral mass tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. in St Catherine's Church, Outer Lynn. Burial afterwards in Rathmullen Cemetery. In accordance with HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are private to family and close friends, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Rosary tonight at 9 p.m. can be viewed on MCN Media St Joseph's Church, Rathmullen. The death has taken place of Anne Sweeney, New Doherty, 1 Marlborough Street, Derry. House and funeral restricted to family and close friends only, please, due to current restrictions. Funeral from her home tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m. for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Eugene's Cathedral. Interment afterwards in the city cemetery. The death has occurred of Damien Gamble, 3A Main Street, Castle Derg, and formerly of Sion Mills and Killy Gordon. Damien's remains will leave Lynch's funeral home at Castle Derg tomorrow morning at 11:30 a.m. for Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Castle Derg, at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam at churchservices.tv/Castle Derg. The death has taken place of Hugh Neeson, 113 Mount Carmel Heights, Strabane, and formerly of Glebe Park, Sion Mills. Funeral leaving his home tomorrow afternoon at 1:20 for Requiem Mass in St Teresa's Church, Sion Mills at 2 p.m, followed by interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, please. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has occurred of Mary Doherty, Chris Lamore, Burnfoot. Requiem Mass on Saturday morning at 11 a.m. in St Mira's Church, Fawn, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and interment are private to family and close friends only, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Murphy Funeral Directors. And the death has taken place of Agnes Conwell, Nee Divine, 176 Lisnefin Park, Strabane, and formerly of Plum Bridge. Funeral leaving her home tomorrow morning at 10:15 a.m. for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 11. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, please. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam.